Well, I wish I was given updates on the pastor search committee, but I'm afraid I'm not. Earlier this month, pastor search committee, we decided since we met on Thursdays, and Thanksgiving is on Thursday, that the week of Thanksgiving we wouldn't meet. So I let Rick know what our plans were, and he told you last week that we wasn't going to meet this week, and that for us to take a break, and relax, and rest. Well, the problem with that is we serve a 24/7 God. A God that doesn't take breaks, and a God that doesn't deer hunt. Well, my prayer Sunday was if he were to tell me what to do, tell me what I need to do, I will do it. With 5 o'clock Tuesday morning, God took me up on my promise. And he began to tell me with conviction what I need to do. See, earlier in our pastor search beginnings, I had a disagreement with someone in the church. And I said something I should have never said. And this disagreement caused me not to want to have fellowship with this person. Well, God showed me through scripture and prayer that Christians can agree to disagree on some things. This was a something. So I met with him, and I apologized, and I asked for his forgiveness. And he did, and we talked, and we laughed, and at the end, we prayed for each other. And a great burden was lifted off my shoulders. The reason I needed this person's forgiveness is because I need this person. And our pastor needs him. And if I can't have fellowship with people in this church, why would a new pastor want to have fellowship with me? We'll find a pastor sometime. I don't know when and I don't know who. But when he comes, he'll be excited. His family will be excited. And I will be excited. And I want to grow spiritually with him, and I want to help him grow our church. I don't want to be the one who tells him what's wrong with our church and what he needs to do. When I pray, I want to thank God for sending him to us. And I hope his prayer is that he thanks God for sending us to him. So I'm asking everyone in this church, if you'll pray for me, that I'll keep the promise that I made to God.
Folks, that right there is leadership. If we all did that more, and instead of reacting to situations and all that, Dave, brother, thank you. We've got the right man in our chairman of our pastor search committee, folks. So just continue to remember them in prayer as they continue to work through that. And we've talked before that, you know, they have placed themselves in a position where it's not easy, and Satan is going to throw everything that he can at them to distract them. And he's doing the same thing with us as a church. And if you take a look, there have been some spiritual attacks that have happened. And it seems to me that now we're sort of on a path where there have been some physical attacks happening. If you see the people that we have had that have had injuries, wearing a boot and mowing a lawn and falling and then falling up his steps and down the steps. I don't know who I'm talking about, Sam Kirby, but we might need to wrap him in bubble wrap before he leaves here today. So anyway, but seriously, you know, I'm using Sam's sort of tongue in cheek, but there have been many that are going through some physical ailments right now. And there's some people that are very strong folks within our church. Folks, this committee is on to something. Because just the same reason why we're going to get into the scripture here, and we've already sort of read into it, but the same reason why we need to look at discipline as something that is good, because that means that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. If they were going down the wrong path, Satan would be leaving them alone and say, go, 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 go. But that's not what's happening here. I had a helper, didn't I? So, folks, praise Jesus. Okay, even in the midst of all this, praise the Lord. Let's get into the sermon today, all right? Dave, thank you, brother. Ouch, that hurt. Okay? Let's get on to the first couple of scriptures, okay? Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, fixing our eyes on Christ. During this chapter, you're going to see that the writer of Hebrews, he really uses a lot of sports metaphors, mainly the race and the racer. I love sports. I really do. There are some of them that I love to watch on TV. I love watching, now don't hold anything against me, because I know that, you know, I love watching the NFL. I love my Pittsburgh Steelers. I have been a Steelers fan since Terry Bradshaw graced the field there at Three Rivers. I mean, I can, you know, we've got Lynn Swan, and one of my favorite players is Hines Ward. Hines Ward, I loved him. He wasn't that big. He was a receiver, but he would throw a block on somebody that probably outweighed him by 50 pounds and then look at him and smile. He was a great player. Love that. There are some that I would rather be live watching. I do not like watching baseball on TV. I'd rather be in the stadium watching it. Basketball's the same way. Now, I can take, if it's the Mountaineers, I can take that. But as far as pro and all that, no. Track and field. I love track and field. I really like watching it during the Olympics. I like watching track and field, but I also like watching it live. And it just so happened that my daughter, Jalen, who is here with us today, she ran track in middle school. And she was actually pretty good at it. One of her favorite events was the long jump. Now, I believe that this is her sixth grade year. Our principal was a photographer, and he caught her in midair as she was doing that. Long jump was one of her favorites. She actually won first place her sixth grade year. She won first place her eighth grade year as well. But she really enjoyed that time, and she learned a lot of life lessons from that. When we fix our eyes on Christ, we're keeping our eyes on what He wants us to do and what the prize that He has in front of us. When you watch a runner on TV or really any type of physical racing, you'll notice the outfit that the runner has on. It's very, very tight now, right? I mean, they don't let anything hang. It's just they have it very, very tight. If it's a race that requires a helmet, like I like watching the ice racing during the Winter Olympics, right? Or I'd love, now understand, I would be breaking all the way down because I would not be doing it as fast as they do it. But the luge, bobsled, I love that stuff, okay? But you think about this, they take the helmets, if it requires a helmet, and they take those helmets and they put them through all sorts of tests and everything to make sure that helmet is as aerodynamic as it can be, and it's not going to create any drag for the racer and have anything that impedes the racer. They want to make for sure that anything that would cause that, that would weigh them down, would not happen. We need to try to get rid of everything that's weighing us down to run this spiritual race that we're in. It's easy for us to say we need to get rid of our sin, but what qualifies as sin? What is sin? Anything which takes your eyes off of Christ and the prize he has in his Father for us at the end of the race. Anything that takes your eyes off of Christ is a sin. Why? Because you're putting that above our God. You're putting that above his Son. You're putting that as more important than anything else. John Martin, we're going to go back to Blennerhassett track. John Martin was a history teacher at Blennerhassett. I not only had the privilege of being his student, I actually had him in 7th grade and I had him in 9th grade as well. John was a great teacher. He told history through telling stories. And you learned so much from him when you didn't even realize you were learning. I said, if I hadn't been a music teacher, I probably would have been a history teacher because I just love wrapping up in good stories in history. But he was also an awesome track coach. And one of his biggest assets was teaching students how to run hurdles. He was a phenomenal hurdle instructor. Now, by the time Jalen was running track and in middle school, he'd already retired. But he came to watch her at a practice one time in her 6th grade year. And his comment to me when he came up, you remember this? I've never seen a kid run hurdles with such reckless abandonment. He even said he was working with her and he says, I was trying to tell her to do something. And he said, she's in midair hurdling that thing and said, she's trying to make the adjustments that I'm telling her. He said, I about killed her. He said, I learned that I needed to instruct her after she got done running. He worked with her and gave her the skills to run the hurdles and to do it more efficiently and what she needed to look for. She needed to keep her eyes focused on where they needed to be, as well as working on her strides between the hurdles. She ended up doing pretty well at them. She did not like the race. Her 6th grade year, she got to run 200 hurdles. Those are killer. And she did them because that's what the coach wanted her to do. As a racer, you always need to keep your eyes in front of you. If we start looking around and looking back to see where the other people are at and what the other people are doing, we're going to lose focus on where we need to be going. And a lot of times you end up losing your balance and losing the race. When we spend our time looking backwards at our Christian life, we can lose track of where we need to be heading as well. Always remember what our purpose is. Remember what our goal is. Remember what our reward is when we finish the race. If you've ever heard a racer say that they had the perfect race, you're going to hear them talk about such racing conditions as, you know, they were in the best shape that they could have been in. The other racers pushed them just enough. The wind was great. The temperature was good. Who do we have set in front of us that ran the best race that he could have? We have the Son of God that ran that spiritual race in front of us. And he has set the example of how to look. Because you think about that scripture and how he kept his eyes focused in front of him. We're going to get ready to read those here in just a little bit. But Christ ran that perfect spiritual race. He saw what was at the finish line and endured the suffering of the cross and the shame that was put on him by taking our sins. He kept his eyes on what was coming at the end of the spiritual race he ran, being seated at the right hand of his Father. Imagine what his Father saw while he watched his Son running this race for us. Let's go into that next couple of verses here. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against him, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. You think about what Christ did for us, and you think about all the distractions that he had in front of him when he was going to the cross. You think about what all was said about him as that was happening, and yet he still kept his eyes focused on the prize at the end that would end up changing the world for you and I. Because he kept his eyes forward on what his Father wanted him to do. It would have been very easy to have looked at the sidelines in realizing the price that he was going to have to pay. But instead, he saw the right hand of the Father, where he was going to end up after he endured all the pain that he endured for us. What a price that was paid for you and I. Hebrews 12:5-6. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. You know, if we could only remember those words when we're going through some very, very rough times, when we are going through the Lord's discipline, or he's trying to get us to grow, he's trying to make us into the people that he needs us to be. He's trying to make us into those open vessels to where he can use us more effectively. The verses that were quoted are actually from Proverbs 3:11-12. The book of Proverbs is so full of wisdom for life. And as we go through of the sermon, we're going to refer to quite a few verses from Proverbs. Why discipline? These two verses are very, very clear why the Lord disciplines us. He loves us. We're going to read into the next set of scripture, and I think it's going to be very, very clear to us why God disciplines us and why we need to take a different look at it when it's happening. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom the Father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So why discipline? Verse 8 ought to hit us like a ton of bricks. Why discipline? When God disciplines us, it is because we are his children. The verse flat out tells us if we're not going through God's discipline, we are illegitimate. We are not his children. We are not sons and daughters of the Most High God. Our earthly fathers and mothers disciplined us. Boy, do I remember that. They're sitting down here. There are some of y'all that have known me for a short time. You didn't see me while I was growing up. I'm not saying I don't think I was a horrible kid. However, there were several times when mom and dad would apply the Board of Education or a belt or a hand or whatever was convenient to put it on the seat of knowledge, if you understand my meaning. I was telling them last night, we got together with family at my sister's house. And I paid for this dearly, but it's still one of my favorite stories. But how many of y'all remember, okay, H&M in the mall now, right? You remember what it was before that? Stone and Thomas. No, Elder Bierman. Elder Bierman, then Stone and Thomas, then the Diamond. Okay? Mom, where she shopped in the Diamond, you'd have to walk down the main thing, and then there was carpet there. Then there was another piece of carpet there that was black and white stripes. If y'all ever, Mom had to look up because it'd make her dizzy. I'd have to lead her. That isn't where I got in trouble. That next section of carpet had so much static electricity in it, I think it could have powered the mall. Dad's working, sleeping, I don't know. But it's Jeanette and I were shopping with Mom. So I'm going around the shop and I'm dragging my feet. I'm going to my sister and I'm going zap. 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 Zap, zap. Mom's saying, stop it. Zap. Zap. I mean, stop it. Zap, zap. Then it comes, Rick, I said stop it, and I mean now. That means you have one more. I don't know how long I was walking on that carpet and not touching anything. My hair, it's probably the reason why my hair's as curly as it is now, right? I probably got that. I was saving it. Mom's checking out. Jeanette's up there beside a mom and the cashier. She's closer to the cashier than she is to Mom, and I lay it on her. You could hear it pop. But you not only heard it pop when it hit Jeanette, but there was enough left that it popped when it went over to the cashier. And she let out a war whoop. Woo! Mom says, come on, we're going to the dressing room. I'm like going, there isn't anything that's going to fit me in here. Oh, yes, there was. Did I like that discipline at the time? Yeah, sure. I knew it was going to make me a better person. If y'all believe that, I've got some other stories to tell you. Are you kidding? It hurt. It hurt. There were some times that the pain would be there for a little while. The whippings only hurt for a little while, all right? Y'all that got spanked as children, they only hurt for a little while. But they still taught us nonetheless. As I got older, that's when the groundings came around. Groundings were a lot worse than spankings. I'd rather have a spanking than a grounding. My mom and dad had high expectations for me. I was not allowed to bring home anything less than a B from school. There was one time during my eighth grade year that I had an F in a class. I took algebra. Back then, algebra was early if you took it in eighth grade. I had an F so bad in algebra, I shouldn't have done it. I did. Want to be with my friends. I had an F so bad that if they had given us two tests, and we were in 6 weeks back then, they'd have given us two tests and I'd have scored 100 on both of them, I'd have still been flunking. And so at the end of that 9 weeks, the only time that I was allowed to have outside of my room was from 8 to 9 o'clock. Everything else, the radio was gone, the TV was gone. I think I had a TV in my room at that point. The phone was gone, which didn't mean anything to me anyway. I could care less whether I had a phone or not. Of course, back then it was landline, kids. It wasn't these things that we carry around with us everywhere. What really hurt was that at 5 o'clock, that's when Star Trek was on WTAP. I remember, it's 5 o'clock. Time to save at Sid's, the big store. I'm really taking you back now, aren't I? But why did Mom and Dad do that? They wanted me to be a disciplined individual that could live life. And live life, I was raised in a godly home. So they wanted me to live according to God's standards as well. Our Heavenly Father disciplines us for our good. He wants what is best for us. What does this discipline he gives us yield? The last part of verse 11 tells us, "For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." There were times I had to be trained a little bit more than others. But look what happened. I mean, I hope I live a life according to the way that God wants me to live it. Proverbs 13:24, "Whoever spares a rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him." Now listen, I'm not saying that every child needs to be spanked. Jalen, the easiest thing for her was to look at her and say, "I'm disappointed." Oh, heavens. The world was coming down around her when you said that. Revelation 3:19, "Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent." We also need to be careful to allow God to work through this manner of discipline with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Have you ever thought about that? That sometimes when we see a brother and sister going through discipline, we want to sit there and say, "Oh, it's all okay." And we tell them what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear. Do we enjoy seeing others going through this? Absolutely not. We have empathy with it. I mean, that was when my sister used to get in trouble and she would get spanked. I felt bad for her. Okay? Or when I saw friends getting in trouble and all that, I didn't like seeing them have to pay the price for something that they did. We don't enjoy seeing others go through it. We can show empathy and love towards the people who are going through this, but we need to allow God to work. We need not to interfere. We can show empathy, we can encourage, we can provide strength, but we need God to do His thing. Joe Bryant was a dear old saint that went down to First Baptist Fairleigh in Fairleigh, West Virginia. We used to go down there a lot because we have a lot of family down there. And we went to First Baptist Fairleigh. And I was being my typical maybe 3-4-year-old in service. I was acting up. And Joe could see that Dad was reaching his limit. And so Dad takes me by the hand and takes me out the door. And dear sweet Joe follows Dad right out the door. And dear sweet Joe rips a piece of gum in half and says, "Here, son, why don't you have that?" And he starts talking to Dad. And by the time he got done talking to Dad, that education that I was getting ready to get again went away. Because Joe had sort of talked Dad off the ledge. What would have happened if Joe would have been there every time my father needed to discipline me? As a child, I appreciated it very much. But what would have happened if Joe would have been there to have interfered every time my dad needed to instruct me in how I needed to be? Joe would have kept my parents from teaching me the behaviors that I needed to learn. I wouldn't have been behaving in service if he'd have been there, if we're talking about service. You know, both of my parents were very involved in services back where the praise station is now. Mom, if she wasn't in the choir, she was playing piano, and Dad was always in the choir. Now, they kept me, I was pretty well on the front row all the time, and they kept an eye on me, you know, and there were times, once again, that I would get educated when I got home because my behavior was not what it should have been. I wasn't always successful at it, but I was more times than not because they let me know what they expected, and I knew what would happen if I didn't meet that Proverbs 23:13, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. I guess I'm living proof of that. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. We need to make sure that we're allowing God room to operate and allow him to work in our brothers and sisters' lives the way that he wants to. There may be times when we will have to be honest with people about certain situations, but we can do it in love and pray they take our advice and our opinions the way that it was meant to be taken. This journey isn't easy, but we're all meant to grow from it and be better Christians as we go through it together. We also need to remember as Christians, we should all be going through this process. And once again, if we're not going through discipline, if God does not at times say, hey, you're messing up here, then we need to take a look at what our walk is with him. And listen, even the people that you think have the closest walk with God, you're, oh no, God wouldn't have to. Yes, this is not something that is just for one Christian or that. It says all of us here, folks. All of us need to be going through this process. And if we're not, then we need to take a look at our relationship with God. You can take a look at the purest of ores. What you think is absolutely the purest, even the purest gold. And they'll take that thing and they'll put it in the fire and they'll try to take all the impurities out. But guess what? Even when it says pure gold, it's not pure gold. Diamonds. Diamonds have flaws. As a matter of fact, that's the way they identify them, is by the flaws. That's the way they price them as well. And guess what? It's the same with every one of us. We have our flaws. We have our areas of weakness. We're going to go through discipline as God tries to make us those vessels that he needs us to be. And we will not be perfect until we reach that final destination that we were talking about earlier. We need to remember this as we come up to this next section of Scripture. Proverbs 13:1, a wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Proverbs 10:17, whoever heeds instruction is on the path to life, but he who rejects reproof leads others astray. When we are going through these hard times and we're going through some stuff, don't automatically assume that it's all Satan. Because sometimes it's God using our circumstances to help us grow and make us better. Even though Satan might be involved. Think about Job, right? Satan asked permission to mess with Job. We'll just say he asked permission to mess with Job. And he messed with him royal, right? But then what happened at the end of that when God finally said enough? Job lost everything. His family, his wealth, you name it. His wealth, his health, anything that he could have had that you would have thought would have been something that this man could have stood on and said, oh, yes, something. He had nothing. Even his friends turned against him, trying to give him advice. But when it was all over with, and Job didn't turn away from God, and still said, I'm going to praise him in the middle of all this, even though it's tough. I will keep my eyes on him. Job ended up in a much better situation than he was before all of that ever happened. He ended up a stronger person who loved God even more. Once we go through these times and allow God to use them for our betterment, then we will be stronger in our faith, just like Job was. Just like an athlete, you can't be good at what you are doing without training and discipline. It takes that discipline to get you there. We're going to go back to some more racing metaphors here. So anyway, Hebrews 12:12 through 15. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. The battle scars. How many of y'all have had battle scars in your Christian life? If you're not raising your hand, you've got issues, okay? We've all had them. Verse 12 and 13 tells us to keep our eyes on the prize. You know, the picture that I get of the runner here is somebody running a marathon. I've walked the half marathon in Parkersburg before. Whoever put, what hill was that off of Quint, that last stupid hill? 13th Street. The person that, if that hill would be at the first part of the race, that'd be golden. All right? Oh, no. It's in mile number 11. By the time you're going, I think I can. And you're just like, oh, I don't know if I can. I picture that runner seeing that hill. And lift up your weary hands, your weak knees. Keep them moving towards the prize. The runner is worn out. But once again, he's got his eyes on the finish line. And I don't know whether this is a good thing or a bad thing, but when you hit that hill, you're close enough to the finish line that you can start hearing the people cheering the people that are crossing the finish line. That's an encouragement. If you work or serve in a church, there's no way that you're not going to have scars from time to time. It's going to happen. So what are we supposed to do? We're, once again, keep our eyes focused on the prize that God has in front of us. We are to forgive each other. We are supposed to set an example for the world of who we are. We are to demonstrate a holiness that can only be explained by the Holy Spirit who lives in us and who convicts a person to the point where they come up here in front of you all and tell you the path that they have just walked. Dave, you couldn't have orchestrated, you didn't orchestrate this, did you? The Holy Spirit did this. Man, what an example. Peace, but just not for peace's sake. We need to strive for peace. As we build each other up through the teaching and preaching of God's Word, we need to be sensitive to what we are being taught and what the Holy Spirit is saying to us through our leaders and through His Word and through your teachers and whoever else is up here in front of you. If someone talks to us about an area in our lives where we are weak or where we are straight out sinning, it may not be the most pleasant of circumstances, but we need to hear them out and then weigh the words of what they are telling us against what we see our lives ourselves. If we just shut them off, we may be shutting off something that God's trying to teach us. We need to know, just like the Father is trying to get us to be better witnesses for Him, so should the brother or sister who is speaking with you. Thank you, brother. There's another story there, but we're trying to get into this, right? I was like, maybe Chris is going to confess something. Oh, the Spirit is moving. Okay. Back. The ADD just kicked in. So sorry. Squirrel. We need to do what we are doing in love. It is so easy to do when we see somebody messing up. It's so easy to judge, isn't it? We need to make for sure that when we are looking at somebody and we're having to talk with somebody about an issue, that we take the time to get our mindset right and that we're doing it in the way that we should. Will we look at this, or when we're the ones that the person is talking to, are we going to look at it in a really pleasant way when the person comes to us? Once again, absolutely not. However, here's the deal. If we feel that same pain when God is convicting us of stuff, do you not think we're going to feel it when a brother or sister comes to us as well? And it might even be more so of a hurt when that happens. We're not going to find it enjoyable, but we do need to work through it. Let me ask you this. Think about the person who's talking with you. Do you think they're enjoying having to come talk with you about something? When I've had to deal with issues at the church, I will lose sleep. I will absolutely stay up at night. I might go to sleep early and then wake up sometime during the night, and I will wake up in a cold sweat, and I will be sitting there and I will be thinking about this, and I will be going over and saying, God, please give me words that will make this as least painful as I can, and try to take as much hurt away as you can. I don't like confrontation. I don't like hurting people. I don't like doing a lot of things. But if God calls you to do it, if God's got you in the position to do it, then there are times you have to walk that path. The bitter root. Satan will try to find a way into our lives and into our church. He'll look for a chink in our armor, and he'll begin to pick at it. He'll just pick. But eventually, he'll get it open. Before long, there's a hole, and he'll be able to get through it, and then he'll really start working the point. Eventually, where he's working, it'll become a sore. And he'll keep going after it. And as he keeps picking at it, eventually it's going to become a wound. And if not taken care of, that wound will become infective. It'll become infected. And it'll destroy our witness, your personal witness. And if you're dragging others with you in the church, it will destroy the witness of the church as well. Satan will try to find a way to do whatever he can. It is important we take care of issues in our personal lives as well as the body of the church. If we don't, the infection spreads and it'll just go rampant. We have got to stand and work through that. Verse 16 and 17, and then we'll wrap this thing up. That no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. Thanks, guys. You know, I tried to look to see if I could tell you exactly where Hebrews was written, what group it was written to. We don't know that. What we do know is that it was written to a group of converted Jewish folks. So that's really it. There's even debate whether it was Paul or somebody else that wrote it. There's a lot of debate on Hebrews. So why did this all of a sudden in 16 about sexual immorality, why did that pop up? Well, it might be something that they were dealing with in that area, maybe. It could have been just a sin that they were dealing with, but it's also one of the easiest sins to sort of have to put away, isn't it? Think about temptation, which is readily available to us today. Pornography would be one of those, wouldn't it? And it's so easy today to access anything like that. No one is sexually immoral. So it could have just been that it was something that was very prevalent there. But then we get into Esau. Esau lost his birthright for a moment of pleasure. He lost it for food. He was hungry. And so he lost his birthright because he traded it for soup. When he realized what he had done, he went back upset because he'd messed up. He wasn't really sorry for the fact that he gave up his birthright as much as he was sorry he lost it. He was upset not about the sin, but he was upset about the consequences of his sin. Do you see the difference? Tell kids at the school, two of the cheapest words that they'll tell me is "I'm sorry." They're not sorry, really. They're sorry they got caught. They're sorry they got caught. They're not sorry for their actions. They're sorry that you were at the, according to them, you were at the wrong place at the wrong time. According to the teacher, right place at the right time. When we are truly repentant about a situation, we may still have to pay the consequences of what we have done, but we are sorry for what caused the consequences, which was our mistake. Are you truly repentant of sin in your life, or are you sorry you know God is watching you and you can't hide from Him? Let that sink in one more time. Are you truly repentant of sin in your life, or are you sorry you know God is watching you and you can't hide it from Him? And that's where the ouch comes in the title. When I'm writing this up, I'm pulling my toes back as well. We need to get serious about the sin in our lives. We need to get serious about how God is bringing us into a better relationship with Him and being more open vessels to be used by Him. He will do this through many different ways, but one of them is through His discipline. We may not like it at the time, but we need to recognize it in what God is trying to do. And when we do that, then we can start moving on and seeing what God is trying to do in and through our lives. Are you really willing to let God have control of your life and allow Him to use you? This question isn't only to the people who have never accepted the gift of salvation, but it is open to the Christian that sits in the pew who is holding on to areas of their life that God wants to take control of. Keep your eyes on the goal He has in front of us. There are many distractions in this race that we are running that can pull us off the track and get us to fumble our feet and hit a hurdle and not get where we need to be. Some of them may even look like good things, like the soup Esau traded his birthright for. But in the end, they end up only being a temporary joy. The real prize is when we cross the finish line and meet our Father God, who will be standing there to tell us we ran the race well. And we hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." If you've never accepted Christ, today's the day that you can do that. He is here waiting on you. His Spirit is there. Hopefully you feel the Spirit working in your life and working in your heart to say that you need Him in your life. If you would like to accept Him today, I will be down front. We can pray and then we'll set up a time to meet where we can sit down and talk. If you want to join our family here today, you can do that today as well. If you feel like you've gotten distracted on your race for whatever reason, then come down front and pray. If you want me to pray with you, I'll pray with you as well. This race is not easy. But once again, the prize at the end is like no other. And we're guaranteed that prize if Jesus is Lord and Savior of our lives. Be obedient to the Spirit today. I'm going to pray. Praise team is going to come up and play our invitation. I'll be down front. be obedient to the Spirit. Father, we thank you so much for today. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, once again, even though it is not pleasant at the time, Father, we thank you for your discipline. And Father, we thank you that you love us enough that you don't just let us hang out there and do whatever it is that we want to do. But Father, you want to make us into what you need us to be. Father, that might be so hard at times. And it is not fun when you're going through that. But Father, you give us a family here of believers who are praying for us, who can empathize with us because they are going through the same thing. But Father, they can love us and give us strength while we're doing that. Father, help us to have wisdom when we need to step in. And Father, help us to have wisdom when we just need to lend that support and let you work. Father, I pray for those who have never accepted you as Lord and Savior, and I just pray that today would be that day. Father, I thank you for the gift of your Son and the blood that was shed for me so that I can have this relationship with you. Father, for those who have either backslidden or just feel like they need to walk closer to you, Lord, if you're asking them to come down and pray, I pray that they would just once again be obedient to what you're asking them to do today. Father, we thank you so much. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Today, whiter than snow. This week, don't hesitate to call. As always, please leave a message if you need something. We'll respond to you. Let us pray. Lord, as we come to the end of the week of our Thanksgiving holiday, we remain thankful, Lord. We just want to remain thankful year-round that such great blessings you give us, Lord. The greatest of all, Jesus Christ, our Savior, Lord. But many blessings each day. We just thank you for everything, and we praise your name. Lord, as we return a bit of our blessings back to the offering this morning, we ask you to bless that to your causes around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Continue to be in prayer for each other as we go into the week. See how God can use you. That video that played before the service, before I preached, that thing once again just speaks volumes. See how God can use you where you're at this week. Pray for each other. Pray for our pastor search committee. They're getting ready to get back at it. And just pray that God will bless them through that. All right? Michaela and the praise team's going to sing you out. And we'll see you next week. All right? Don't